Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Here's Alexis Sanchez! What a finish! Walcott's going to go through and score! Into the middle. Giroud! It's two!
Hi, I'm Russell Hargreaves and welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast for the week of the 28th of September 2015. It's an Arsene Wenger special on today's show. We'll be talking to John Cross about his new book, The Inside Story of Arsenal Under Wenger. Callum Chambers tells us about the best advice he's received from the boss, and Adrian Clarke is here to preview the visit of Manchester United. But let's kick off with the weekend review. Arsenal travelled to the King Power Stadium on Saturday afternoon to face previously unbeaten Leicester City, and they got off to the worst possible start when Jamie Vardy put the Foxes one up inside the opening 15 minutes. It was the catalyst Arsenal needed, though, with Theo Walcott equalising just 5 minutes later.
This is Ozil. Gets away from Drinkwater. Now it's with Alexis. Arsenal have got plenty of players forward here. One of them is Cazorla. Cazorla sees Walcott through the middle. Theo Walcott to level things up here. Yes, into the corner! Seemed to take an age to roll into the corner, but Arsenal back level. If you live by the sword, you die by the sword. And Leicester had too many players in advanced positions, and they've been punished by the Gunners here. And Theo Walcott through on goal, makes no mistake. It is Leicester 1, Arsenal 1.
Fantastic response from Arsenal, but really seconds earlier they could have been two goals down. But that is a really calm, composed finish from Theo Walcott on his left foot. Aaron Ramsey was screaming to the ball to his right, but when Theo Walcott threw on goal, he does not want to pass. And it's a really, really cool, calm finish. That's excellent play from Theo Walcott.
That was Theo's third goal of the season. He's really cemented himself as the team's number one forward at the moment. The Gunners didn't have to wait long until they took the lead. Alexis opening his account for the season just after the half-hour mark.
And Arsenal have it again. Here is Ramsey breaking forward. Short now for Ozil. Looking for Bellerin. Gets to the bar. Low bullet chance here. And it's surely going to be put in by Alexis. And it! Arsenal are in front here in this incredible game at the King Power. Great breakdown on the right-hand side as it came across the face of the goal. Walcott didn't get enough on it. But Alexis following up did and fired into an unguarded net. It is Leicester City 1, Arsenal 2.
And the Chilean wasn't finished there. He doubled his tally for the day 12 minutes into the second half.
Bearing comes forward, infield for Alexis. Alexis looks to turn it over to Ozil. Ozil on his right side doesn't take the shot away, then chips it forward. Alexis again with a header! Flag stays down. Arsenal have got a third. And it's Alexis Sanchez at the double. Terrific football once again from the Gunners. And the game got stretched in this second half. And the Chilean has punished the home side once more.
Alexis saved his best until last, completing his first hat-trick for the club, 10 minutes from time.
Giroud, a different proposition for the Leicester defenders. This is Alexis from distance. Oh, I say! How about that? To complete your hat-trick. Took it nice and early from the throw-in. Then it come across his body. And from 25 yards plus has found the corner. Schmeichel beaten yet again. Arsenal do have a fourth and Alexis has got a hat-trick. And then it's just brilliant football from the Chilean.
Vardy scored a late consolation for the Foxes, but there was still time for substitute Olivier Giroud to wrap things up in added time.
Here is Ozil. It's Monreal coming forward. 2-2 Emma inside the penalty area. One of them, Giroud, he finds a corner! Arsenal do have a fifth. The goals just keep on flowing here. Leicester 2, Arsenal 5. Olivier Giroud swung that trusty left peg of his to find the corner. Schmeichel's beaten again. Both sets of players are out on their feet here. It's been that type of game. It's been a real throwback from start to finish. It reads Leicester 2, Arsenal 5.
After the game, Arsene Wenger was full of praise for his match winner, Alexis.
Yes, yes, he is back to his level. He won a big competition with Chile, the Copa America, and I think as well mentally to adjust again to a competitive level when you come back, it takes some time. Could see in training already a different player in the last week or two, and he's shown that today. But overall, I believe that going forward, he looked always dangerous.
The win was, of course, the perfect response to the disappointment at Stamford Bridge last weekend and puts Arsenal up to fourth in the Premier League, just 3 points behind Manchester United. Well, the boss reflected on just how tight the top of the Premier League is.
Knowing that Tottenham has beaten Man City today, it makes the whole league very tight. Because 2 weeks ago, you had Man City playing West Ham at home, and so you would expect that they make the difference, you know.
That's the final word on the weekend's action. Now it's time to speak to a man who featured in the 2-1 Capital One Cup victory over Tottenham last midweek. That's Callum Chambers. Callum Chambers had a successful debut season for the Gunners last term. He's the latest in a long line of young players to come to the club to work with Arsene Wenger. He sat down with Arsenal Media's Harry Hawke to talk about working with the boss.
Callum, what's the best bit of advice the boss has given you?
I'd probably say the best bit of advice the boss has given me is just to relax and enjoy myself in games. You know, before the game or half-time, he'd say, you know, relax. And just play how, you know, play with confidence and enjoy it. And honestly, I probably think that's the best advice that he's given me because it helps me in my game. You know, I can then relax and go onto the pitch and express myself, which is useful.
And do you remember the first time you met him?
Yeah, I do. Remember the first time I met everyone here. You know, it's he's a legend. So yeah, it was a pretty cool moment.
There's so many young players who've come to this club just to work with him. How big of a factor was he when you signed?
A massive factor. You know, obviously Theo and Alex have come from, they always came from Southampton as well, and they've both come through, and he's renowned for bringing young players through and developing them. So that was a big factor as to why I chose to come here to work with him. So I haven't regretted it one bit.
And how has working with him improved you as a player so far?
I think it's improved me massively. I mean, over the past year, I think I've improved in my game a lot. And, you know, he goes through little bits with me, you know, on the pitch, individual stuff, gives me advice. So, yeah, you know, over the past year, my game's improved massively.
After playing more than he probably expected last term, Callum's had his first team opportunities limited this season. That due to the emergence of Hector Bellerin and the arrival of Gabriel. But if he continues to show the raw talent he demonstrated at times last year, there's no question that he's going to play a big part in the first team for many years to come. So, as today is the anniversary of Arsene Wenger's appointment as Arsenal manager, it's time for a very special history lesson.
And it's Adams, put through by Bold! Would you believe it?
Or Charlie George, who can hit him. Oh, a great goal!
It's up for grabs now! Thomas! Right at the end!
So, as we've mentioned, this week marks 19 years since Arsene Wenger was appointed Arsenal's manager, succeeding Stuart Houston, who'd been made caretaker boss after Bruce Rioch's dismissal before the start of the 1996-97 season. Here's the boss remembering the pressure he faced when he arrived at the club.
I came here and it was new to have a foreign manager, so I could understand the scepticism of the people. And funny-wise, how long I would last was one of the biggest bets in the country. So it was a good challenge for me to show that I can do well.
Arsene Wenger will go down in history as the man who revolutionised this football club, from his ability in spotting young talent to implementing advanced coaching methods in training. Here's Lee Dixon, Martin Keown and Dennis Bergkamp talking about those early days of Wenger's reign.
It was a shock, you know, it was Arsene who, I'd never heard of, literally never heard of him. You know, it was like, well, where's he manage? How's this guy going to inspire us into... You know, little did we know what was behind those glasses and those elbow pads. And, you know, he from day one, he changed a lot of things and they all seemed like they were for the better. And the results he got from in such a short space of time is reflecting on how well he was accepted into the club by the players. We took it all on board. We listened to his advice. We did his stretching. We ate his food. We played in a way that was... We were released from the shackles a bit. You know, he didn't suddenly turn me into a more composed, sort of more skillful player than I was before. He just released me in a way that you'd say, right, that's like, he played with a lot more freedom and I was allowed to express myself a little bit more. But that, you know, and that's what he did to everybody. And all of a sudden, the team started to blossom.
Well, we didn't know anything about the manager, and it was, to be honest, it said everything about the sort of English mentality that we knew so little at that point. We thought we knew everything, but we knew nothing really. And I think what the boys were able to do was to embrace that change that the manager brought. It was a completely different football club 6 months after he got there than it was before. He was so professional in the way that, you know, the diet, we would chew to win, we would sip. If we didn't have a bottle of water in our hand, you know, we were in trouble for that. We were explained to us the reasons why we're eating the foods we are. We would eat the foods in certain orders. It was a real eye-opener. We were stretching before training. We were stretching after training. We'd never done that before. And everything was done sort of to a time clock.
As soon as Arsene came in, he changed a lot in a positive way and helped, of course, to get rid of that boring Arsenal name. We had the same idea about football. We like the creative style of football, the attacking style of football. And off the pitch, we like the discipline to give everything for football. It took a little bit of time to get going, but... straight away, you could see his plan, what he wanted to do.
After completing the double in the 1997 to 98 and 2001 to 2002 seasons, the boss's finest hour would come in 2004 when he'd lead his Invincibles to an undefeated league season. Well, this is a clip from the Invincibles documentary where Wenger tells us about how he re-motivated the team to remain undefeated after winning the title at White Hart Lane and what the achievement meant to him.
It was massively difficult. Because I felt when I said to them, now you have won the championship, now I want you to become immortal. They looked at me like I was absolutely mad. What is he talking about, this guy? Immortal for what? And I tried to explain to them that they don't realize what they are doing at the moment, but one day they will realize. And so they said, we are not convinced but what you're talking about, but we will do it. But they just did enough, you know. They just did enough to be mediocre, but they refused as well to lose. And every single game until the end was suffering because I felt that the enthusiasm, the sharpness had gone, but we just did enough not to lose the games. Time will pass. The history selects always what is the most difficult to achieve, and time will tell. These players will become bigger and bigger, and every other team at the Arsenal Football Club, at some stage, even if they achieve great things, will be compared to them. When I am a manager and I look at the table of my team, I look always at the L and how big this number is, you know. And because every defeat is an absolute pain forever in your life. And when you can see L0, that's where you can be really, really happy.
When Arsenal take on Bayern Munich at home on the 20th of October, Arsene Wenger will have taken charge of twice as many games as any other Arsenal manager. In total, he's taken charge of 1,076 games, winning 627, drawing 237 and losing just 212. He's won six FA Cups so far, which is a record for any manager, three Premier League titles and six Community Shields. He's also the subject of John Cross's new book, and we'll talk to him about that next.
Let's hear from another Arsenal insider on the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
So our Arsenal insider this week is The Mirror's John Cross. Crossy's new book, Arsene Wenger, the inside story of Arsenal under Wenger, is in stores now. Crossy, good morning, mate. Good to have you back on the show. How are you?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Nice to be with you.
This book going well, selling well, I understand. But I have to say, mate, I'm still awaiting that free copy that you promised me you'd send me. Where is it?
It must be lost in the post somewhere. No, signed copy, right. I'm sure it'll be on its way.
Give you a few more days, John. Not a problem. I'll tell you what, we'll start with that whole process of writing this book. How interesting and how fun was it for you as well?
Well, it was fun, actually, at times. At times, it was a bit painful as well. Because I must say, what kind of started off as maybe a little bit more something of a diary of a season, sort of morphed into a bit more of an all-round picture of Arsene Wenger. I know, actually, he doesn't particularly enjoy sort of kind of straight biography, so that's one thing I didn't particularly want to do. And so kind of it was just more concentrating on his time at Arsenal. I just think as we kind of, you know, clock up landmarks, really, and milestones of what he's achieved and what he's done and the amount of games he's managed and time at the club, and we're about to reach another, aren't we, with 20 years. And it's just a remarkable sort of an achievement, I think, really, of what he's done. I think you've got so many insights, so many former players, so many other sort of peers within the game, if you like, and I just think there's a sort of fascinating story really to be told of his remarkable achievements at Arsenal across many levels. I think really as sort of kind of football manager, someone that's overseen a great period of change at the club, and at the same time has probably emerged out the other side with two successive back-to-back FA Cup wins.
Absolutely, and the Community Shields as well, John, don't forget those. You talk about putting a new twist onto the book, because as you say, it's been covered, or he's been covered, in the sort of, you know, very traditional manner on many occasions, hasn't he? So having that novelty value to it for you and for all the readers must have been absolutely critical.
Yeah, I think so. I like...
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I just think I can paint a picture of seeing him on a regular basis, kind of working quite closely with him. It's also enabled me to sort of form relationships with sort of players down the years. Who can hopefully give a bit of insight and a bit of humour. I think the one thing that I always like to do in any story that I write, or any, you know, obviously piece that I write, and now the sort of the book, is offer a little bit of insight and kind of try and deliver an anecdote or two. I don't think you can beat anecdotes kind of and try and sort of paint a picture as if you're actually there, really. And some of the humour offered, you know, by some of the former players, you know, Ray Parler, Stephen Hughes, you know, of this parish, you know, I know that's quite a lot, you know, sort of the club media as well. So I think that's quite good. And I think he's one of the best storytellers I've come across in football, really. But they offer a sort of a humour and an insight, I think, that kind of doesn't just sort of kind of paint a picture of a man and a manager who's been extremely successful, but someone that really enjoys the dressing room banter and the gags. And I think you understand there that you're dealing with a man who's got a very good sense of humour. He enjoys the English game in all its kind of glory. And I'm talking about kind of the fun and the jokes. This incredible man who's so intelligent and who's yet so clumsy. I mean, they're basically struggling with the zip on the touchline, doesn't tell the half of it, really. And, you know, that's part of his charm. And really, I do think he's gone through many sort of periods. And I think that it's only, I think, in time to come, and perhaps after he's left Arsenal and left sort of the management game, if you like, and I hope that day's not too soon, I actually think that Arsenal fans and kind of people in general, and particularly the media, will look back and upon it and realise, actually, he's a managerial great. He'll go down in folklore, and I think he'll go down as one of the managerial greats of all time.
So, as you rightly say, John, 19 years in counting, so all of that history to wade your way through. What are a couple of the favourite stories that you uncovered that you can share with us that we can obviously read in more detail in the book?
Well, one that always sort of makes me laugh, actually, is something about some... there's one about Ian Wright roller skating his way through the marble halls, which was quite good fun, and suddenly at the end, if you can sort of imagine the tradition... And the sort of the marble hall steeped in all its glory, really. And there's Ian Wright, the sort of the upstarts roller skating sort of across the marble halls. It just makes me laugh to be greeted with Arsene Wenger poking his head round the door at the end, really. So that one got me going. But then also, I think there was a bit of a gag, really, on sort of what in Arsene Wenger's early days, when basically they would have some Marks and Spencer's food on the back of the bus. They'd serve up sandwiches and sort of puddings and this sort of thing, really. And then the back seat brigade, I should say, would sit at the back, and as a bit of a laugh, the likes of sort of Ray Parler, Steve Bold, Stephen Hughes would sort of egg each other on and have a bet over who could eat the most puddings. And there'd be a little bit of a wager as to who could manage the most, really. And, of course, Arsene Wenger not missing a single thing, because that's the sort of manager he is. Obviously clocked their fun and games, and obviously found out that it was Ray Parler who ate, I think it was five in the end, and sort of was cash rich at the end because he won the bet.
Oh, brilliant.
Arsene Wenger ensured that it didn't happen again, really. So, you know, it's those sort of gags that really sort of make me laugh, quite alongside the sort of obviously the serious nature of winning and sort of difficult times and coming out the other side. But it's those sort of gags, really, sort of anecdotes that really sort of tickled my fancy.
And what about, just one more on the book, what about your favourite encounter that you've had with Arsene Wenger over your sort of professional career, either through the book or just through your time, of course, with the Mirror and beyond?
Well, I think some of his press conferences are, you know, can be quite spiky. I think they're enjoyable. I think they're testing. And I guess he, to a degree, sees us kind of at our best and at our worst, really, because I guess you still kind of want to be speaking to him in the grim times and the bad times. And to that end, actually, I gave him a copy of the book a couple of weeks ago and sort of kind of told him, obviously, as you do, to try and get him on side and make sure that he likes it. About some of the praise there that goes with it.
Was it my copy you gave him?
Well, probably, absolutely, Russ. You know, that's the thing. But and then I gave, you know, I told him about some, you know, comments from Sven Goran Eriksson, who's a particular friend of his, and that he's a living legend and kind of, you know, so much respect for him. And, you know, Arsene Wenger, despite all that, kind of drew back his fist and basically said, I'll reserve judgment until after I've read it. And then had a good laugh at that, basically shook me warmly by the hand and made off with his copy. We've had a couple of laughs since, actually, so I don't think it's upset him too much. So I think you can sort of kind of see that it's been sort of, you know, kind of read and meant in the nicest possible way, because I do think he's a kind of managerial great and a living legend that will go down with the very best, really, through English football. And it's funny, isn't it, really? And I think one of the chapters is called Adopted Englishman. And I think that kind of tells its own story, because I do think he's been here for so long now. I think we do see him as that. I think there's a chapter on kind of his feistiness with other managers. There's a chapter on his kind of workings with the press, if you like. And some of those were sort of the most enjoyable pieces to write within the book, because I do think he's someone that I think in the press, the press generally, not just me, have a great deal of time for and respect for.
Brilliant. Well, that book is in all good bookstores now, and probably a few less reputable ones as well. But I'm sure it's a great read and a definite must for all Arsenal fans. So looking forward to reading that when I can. John, let's just finish, if we can, looking ahead. Of course, Arsenal play Olympiacos this coming Tuesday, and it's a must win in the Champions League now, isn't it, after that defeat in Zagreb?
Yes, it is. I think that it's always the case that I think if you're to progress through to the knockout stages, I think you have to win your home game. I think also probably take one away win. And I think that the Zagreb was the game where Arsenal must have looked at that and thought, you know what, we can win that game and that'll be our away win in the bag. So losing there was a real blow. And I do think there's no margin for error, really, for Arsenal, because I think Olympiacos at home is the game that Arsenal should be expected to win. They must win. I do actually think they'll win it. Obviously, they're without Giroud, who I think might have played, actually, because I think he's sort of just at home. I think he might play some more games. His ability to hold up the ball is good. But I think Arsenal's win at Leicester showed that there's goals from elsewhere with Walcott, you know, particularly good, I think. And Alexis Sanchez, you know, with his hat-trick, showing that he's back to form, you know, just the day after even Arsene Wenger admitted that maybe he'd come back a little bit too soon. And that explained his sort of kind of low-key to start of the season, but I think they balance the games quite nicely. But this is a game that absolutely Arsenal cannot afford any slip-ups, really. I think other teams, English teams, laboured in Europe, but it was Arsenal's defeat, really, bearing in mind that they're so experienced, they're such seasoned campaigners in this competition, that surprised the most. And I do think Arsenal should feel confident. I do think they'll come back quite nicely with a win, and I think that will really boost the confidence going into the weekend, of course, against Manchester United as well.
And just quickly, Crossy, as we let you go, is it a psychological issue as much as anything now in their head, that the fact that Arsenal have been struggling in recent years in particular in the group stages of this competition?
I don't know. I think they're always quite reliable in the group stage, and I think that that shouldn't perhaps be underestimated. I think that they always get through.
It's not always top anymore, and I don't know, there's just maybe a slight regression.
I totally see that. I think that the problem he's got is that you sort of kind of finish this and then you go into Bayern Munich. And I think you can see that basically Arsenal, obviously now not top seeds anymore because of the way that it's structured. I think it's very important now, because you go into, you know, very hard games against Bayern Munich to win that Olympiacos game. And I think actually Arsenal, if they hadn't lost in Zagreb, could have actually won the group, because, you know, I think sometimes Munich are great, sort of guilty perhaps of taking their off the ball a little bit in the group stages themselves. I don't know how important it is now to finish top of the group. It was always a bit of a lottery. I think it was always preferable to do so. I think Arsenal have won the group before and had hard draws. So I think the very fact that basically you go into sort of a knockout stage from a group stage, which is much more sort of seeded and a bit more difficult to predict, means perhaps even if you finish second, you can still get a decent knockout game. I think that's what it's all about for Arsenal. I do think that Arsenal do have a bit more of a psychological block on kind of getting through the group stages. I think it was particularly disappointing last year losing to Monaco, when I think actually the path was opening up. But I don't think we should underestimate just how good Arsenal have been and consistent in Europe, because I think other teams, you know, particularly Man City, for example, I think they give their right arm to be as good and consistent as Arsenal have been in the Champions League. But make no mistake about it, I do think that basically when the pressure is on Arsenal to deliver and get results in Europe, sometimes that's when they can come unstuck. And I do think that pressure will be really intense against Olympiacos. It's opposition they should beat. I think sometimes in Europe when Arsenal have the pressure on, they know they have to win, no margin for error, that's when they can slip up. So I do think it's a particularly dangerous and tricky time for Arsenal.
We shall wait and see. John, as ever, thank you very much indeed for coming on the weekly Arsenal podcast.
Thanks so much for having me.
Speak to you soon. And remember, of course, Dan Roebuck's going to be in the chair from 7.15 on Tuesday evening. That's for the match day show. He'll be joined by the aforementioned Stephen Hughes live on Arsenal Player and also on the Arsenal mobile app. That's all on Tuesday. But now let's look ahead to the visit of Manchester United this coming Sunday with our man Adrian Clarke. Well, you can see Adrian Clarke on the Arsenal Player on the Matchday show every Monday for the breakdown. He's joining me now to look forward to Manchester United's trip to the Emirates this coming Sunday. Clarke, good morning, mate. And I believe congratulations are in order. Is it your birthday?
It is my birthday, yeah, but more like commiserations at my age, but I'll try and embrace it.
21 again, I hope.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You were about three when you made your Arsenal debut.
Yeah, bang on.
Talking of your Arsenal debut and your time at Arsenal, obviously we've been talking a lot about Arsene Wenger, the unique milestone on the Arsenal podcast this week. What are your memories of working under the great man?
Well, I wish I'd worked with him more, to be honest, Russ. That's my one regret, really, from my days at Arsenal. Great coach. I just remember the way that he brought in the new training regime, and it was just amazing. And the players weren't sure about it at first, but within weeks and months, the difference in the players' fitness and strength was just incredible. And because he was such a... or he is such a good footballing coach. That's why I wish I'd had more opportunities to work with him. It wasn't to be, unfortunately, but he's had a stellar career. Never did I think that he would still be here all these years later. It's just amazing.
Well, let's move ahead then to Wenger's next game in the dugout. Of course, it is Manchester United, and I'm afraid the Gunners have got a pretty poor recent record against them at home, haven't they? I mean, I wonder why this is.
We're long overdue a victory against United, that's for sure. It's been incredible. I mean, we've had a couple of draws. Last season was particularly frustrating. There was a smash and grab the year before where United really hurt us on the counter-attack. I think we've been unfortunate in a lot of home matches against Manchester United in recent years, and on the back of that conviction, convincing performance and win at Leicester, there's no reason why the boys can't go out there and really get at Manchester United.
Well, let's hope so. Of course, Arsenal did beat United at Old Trafford in the Cup last season, didn't they, Adrian? So hopefully a psychological edge potentially in that department.
It would help, I think. Yeah, definitely. Louis van Gaal, didn't beat Arsenal here at Emirates, and we won there, of course, in the FA Cup. So, yeah, no, it was a good victory. It was tactically astute. I think they've improved a lot since then, to be perfectly honest. Strengthened their squad considerably and this will be a tough game.
I mean, as you rightly say, United are looking much better, aren't they? Partially at the back, but also going forward at the moment as well. Where do you see them potentially hurting Arsenal?
Well, the front four are excellent, aren't they? Obviously, the threat of Memphis and Martial in behind is something we've got to be careful of. And you've also got the craft of Rooney and Mata. Tactically, I'm looking at this and thinking we need to be careful of Memphis and Mata when they just tuck into those spaces between the centre-backs and the full-backs. I think that's something they both like to do. So it's vital that Arsenal central midfielders get across and lend a hand, because if they work in those little pockets of space, that's where they can hurt us.
On the flip side, where hopefully can Arsenal hurt Manchester United?
Well, Manchester United love to play at a slower pace. They love to control the game. And in recent away fixtures for United, they've struggled when teams have got in amongst them. They don't like it. They don't like being pressed, they don't like being harassed inside their own half. So I think it's important that Arsenal do that. Southampton did it, they scored two goals. PSV upset them at various points, and Swansea did it as well. So that's an area that Arsenal can hurt them. Also on the counter, potentially, because United will want to dominate possession. So there will be space, I think, for Theo on the break.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, form looking good at the moment. We've talked about quite a few individual players in the broader kind of scheme there. What do you think could be a key individual head-to-head battle?
Individually, yeah, I think the engine room is always something that fascinates me in the big games. And Santi Cazorla, I thought, did really well at Leicester last week. His battle with Michael Carrick, if Carrick plays, who can dictate the tempo of this match? Who can dominate possession? I think that will be the key area. If Cazorla's on song, he'll make Arsenal tick. If it's Carrick that's pulling the strings, Arsenal might not see too much of the ball.
We shall wait and see. Adrian, in a sentence to conclude, as we like to ask you, how can Arsenal beat Manchester United?
Well, based on last season's fixture, when David De Gea was absolutely inspirational, I think, and the fact that Arsenal are creating chances, it's simple this week. Arsenal can beat Manchester United if they are clinical.
Adrian, as always, a pleasure, and enjoy the rest of your birthday, mate. What are you doing?
Will do. Don't know yet. It's a surprise.
That's full time on this week's show. My thanks to Callum Chambers, Adrian Clark, and of course to John Cross for their contributions today. Remember, you can tweet your questions to the podcast by using the hashtag ArsenalWeekly. Remember, if you haven't hit the subscribe button already on iTunes, do so, and then you'll never miss an episode. We'll be back on Monday, the 5th of October. Until then, it's bye for now, and come on, you Gunners.
Thanks for listening to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast. You can listen to a new episode every Monday by going to arsenal.com or the Arsenal SoundCloud page. The Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.